Hello and welcome back to another episode of Biff Pal Bam, where we break down the movies and TV shows from the major comic book studios. As always, I am your host, P-Dubs, and joining me is Tony.
For all time.
For all time.
Feels
So,
like it.
it has. It's been a while since we've had anything to talk about. But as we always do, we are breaking down the latest episodes of Marvel TV, and we welcome the return of Loki with his second season. And we're here to break down the first two episodes. We're gonna do the first two, just because of, as we've said previously, with there only being two of us now, it works out better if we break down multiple episodes in one show. So we're gonna start out with season two, episode one, Ouroboros. And so let's jump in. I thought the opening was very un-Loki like because he doesn't normally run away from a fight. He tends to cause some havoc and kind of blink out of existence. Whereas in this case, it wasn't. It was a chase scene, which is very unusual for Loki.
Yeah, it was just straight into it. It's pretty much straight on from the last scene of the last series, wasn't it? So,
Yeah, pretty much. Slightly different looking TVA. Not really the hotel in Atlanta anymore, from what I could work out. I think they moved away from that. Though saying that, I believe it was filmed here this time. Because while he was filming, he was due to become a dad. So I think it was filmed here this time. So it's not a surprise that they weren't filming within that hotel in Atlanta.
Well, I know we discussed it more in part two, but I know they filmed in Chatham Docks for part
Yeah,
two, so but
definitely. So yeah, a different looking TVA now. And we see some of the characters that we know from season one, but I felt this was very lacking in other characters. Obviously we get quite a lot of Loki and Mobius, but we'll get into the reason why I feel like it's lacking some of the characters that we knew in a mirror in a minute in a mirror. I hope it's not in a mirror, a mirror universe maybe.
But we also got a bit more of X5, I thought, in that first episode.
Yeah,
He was
which wasn't a character that we'd spent a lot of time with in the first one, and
no.
he it's not like he's not a known actor either. I don't know whether you're aware of this, but he's one of the main cast members in the TV series that was written by the guy from Hamilton. Why can't I get his name? That's been linked with Marvel films for a while. David Diggs.
All right.
So he's one of the leads in Blindspotting, I believe it's called.
All
So he's not an unknown quantity, which was why it was quite surprising we got so little of him in season
right.
one. I'm going to be honest, in this episode, I don't particularly like his character. I don't think it's a bit of a thankless task, to
Yeah,
be
he's
honest,
got
in this first
a
one.
bit of a grunt. Although it was interesting to see that relationship he has with is it Dogs, Docs,
Yeah.
whatever her name is, towards the
Yeah.
end of the episode where she whispers something in his ear and everything. Oh, what kind of
Yeah.
relationship is she doing a bit of Game of Thrones?
Yeah. Yeah, and I also want to bring up Casey as well, because the version we meet of him when Loki time slips is m much more hard-nosed than the one we've known, and it's kind of like the TVA has driven him a bit mad by the time we met him in season one. Very much a different character, and we see that different character in episode two, and I'm sure we'll touch on that then. I do want to bring up the time slipping is quite horrific. It's
It's
quite,
nasty.
it's a really horrific image of him kind of being pulled apart and pushed through.
Apparently, he filmed, he did all those movements in camera
Yeah.
that they put together, basically. Yeah, fair dues. He
Yeah,
must be off the line quite a bit.
very much so. And this is when we kind of get to what I brought up at the beginning, with the lack of the cast that we already knew, because after we meet the new judges, as they're calling them, the replacements for Renslayer, it does become the OB show after that.
I think that's deliberate. I mean, it's his name is the name of the episode. And there's one of the breakdown guys who point out, I think basically the whole story is going to be an Ouroboros.
Yeah.
That's what it'll be Loki or Sylvie that prunes Loki at the end.
Yeah.
It's one of those self-fulfilling stories, I think it's going to be.
Yeah. I don't think it works as an opening episode.
Okay.
I feel like we don't kind of spend enough time with the characters that we've already known. When it's a season two premiere, when you've already spent a season with a group of characters, to introduce somebody and let them pretty much take up the whole episode, I find doesn't really work. Now, don't get me wrong, if it had come in episode two or three, I think it probably would have worked better. I just feel like when you have spent that time with a cast to then throw a first episode of a season at you when you don't spend that much time with them.
I took it to be a bit like, I think it was at the start of Lost Series 2 with Desmond. I think that was the first episode, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I remember what the hell's going on here? Who's this guy?
Yeah.
But then it played, it worked because as it played out, he had quite a big storyline, didn't he, in that series?
And I know we've only got not even a quarter of those episodes that you got with Lost. So it's a little bit difficult. And I suppose we bring it up now that Marvel TV Studios is in a mess.
Yes.
At the moment. And it is this structure problem that they've got at the moment.
Well, this seems to be common across the internet and across the breakdown guys and everything, is that the biggest accusation, and I think it's a fair one, is that it's basically they film it almost like a movie and they just break it up and think, we'll have a break there. And I think we discussed it ourselves, and a break there and a break there. And that's not how TV shows work.
No.
They're structured as 1 hour or 40 minute scripts with that. Yeah. There used to be five acts back in the day. I don't know whether it's quite the same now, but they had the preview, pre-credits. Then you had act one, act two, act three, and your epilogue and whatever. And they don't seem to do that. It's basically, we've got a 6 hour story. We'll make a cut there and a cut there and a cut there.
Yeah. And that's what worries me. That's kind of what put me off this first episode, was I feel like that could have been kind of split over different episodes. We get that the time slipping is done by the end of the first episode.
Mm.
And it kind of feels like that could have been something that played out a little bit longer.
You'd like to see him bouncing around time a bit more doing that, would
you? Yeah, yeah. And we spend like 30 seconds with the past OB.
Mm.
Whereas I feel like this could have been kind of split out. Like the end portion could have been in episode two.
Mm.
If it had been a normal length TV series, even if it had been like that half season thing.
So you'd have had the trying to fix the loom as a bit of a cliffhanger.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't have had all of this. I would have had him bouncing around time a little bit more throughout this episode, and then kind of we maybe meet OB three quarters of the way through the episode when he can kind of keep himself in one place for more than a couple of minutes at a time. And then the second episode would have been them trying. And that's the last thing I kind of want to bring up mainly. It is that end portion, because honestly, it completely went over my head and I lost all concentration on it when they were going through all the
There's a lot
jargon.
Of science. Yeah, there's a lot of science in that last record.
Yeah, very much. And that end portion does feel like it's just a little bit too much at once. And also, we know they're not going to kill Loki off.
Yeah.
So there's absolutely no dilemma at the end of it, because you know he's going to be there at the end of it. Yeah. If it had been Mobius or even Sylvie.
Although, I mean, you say that about Mobius, because I couldn't see how they were going to resolve that, because there's no way he was running back in time. So I did not see that coming, that would be Loki just bouncing into him.
No. But the fact that is, it's trying to save Loki. Yeah. And there's no dilemma to that, because it's his TV series. Even if it was a variant that was in the next one, you know Loki is going to be there.
Yeah.
But if it was somebody else that it was happening to, as I say, possibly Sylvie would have been a better option.
Yeah.
Because for all we know, and that could have set him on a different path. If she was killed, we don't know what that would do to Loki. Just for me, I wasn't convinced that it worked as a whole. I lost my concentration on that final portion of the episode. And I actually feel a bit sorry for Ki Hai Quan as well. Because it does feel like OB is just a grown-up short round. Unfortunately.
Well, that's doing the web as well. People are saying he's a variant.
Yeah.
He's a variant of the guy from Goonies.
Exactly. Yeah, I feel a little bit sad for him, considering he's just won an Oscar. And that's what we get. That kind of wraps up my thoughts on the first episode. Is there anything else you want to add, Tony, before we move on to episode two?
No, well, I kind of had a different take. I quite like what they gave us in that, because I thought it's sort of setting out the direction of the season, and that's what I think it's going to be. What, like I say, one of those self-fulfilling prophecies. Whatever happens throughout these episodes, people might say it's pointless that it does, is going to lead to Loki's pruning.
Yeah.
I think either Loki or Mobius will realize that that's what has to happen. You know, it's one of these things that has to happen.
Yeah.
But an interesting thing, I think we're going to have a scene at some point where Mobius meets OB that we haven't seen, because he said they met, of course, and we haven't seen that yet.
Yeah.
So I think that scene must be going to come up, and that'll be a factor. Well, I quite like the stuff as well about the new setup, and you've got that sort of almost like that council of judges, the whole boy that's asleep.
Yeah, see, that works for me, because it's been set up that these judges are going to come face to face with He Who Remains at some point, or with a variant of Kang somewhere along the line. But again, that's another thing. We're not seeing Kang.
Well, I'm not surprised. I didn't think he was going to be in every episode, because I suspect there'll be a contractual thing.
Yeah, I would imagine so. It just seems strange that we don't see him in the first episode after what was set up at the end of the last one.
Yeah, I must admit, I thought we might have seen a credit scene with him.
Yeah.
Instead of the one we got, actually.
Yeah, and come on, the end credit scene was just could have been in anywhere in that episode.
Yeah. Yeah, they didn't need to put it after the credits. I mean, I didn't even know there was going to be one.
Yeah.
Just happened to leave, so I like to listen to the theme and stuff.
Yeah.
That could have easily been the last shot of the actual episode part.
Yeah.
It did seem superfluous sticking it in as a credit scene, especially, you don't tend to get credit scenes in episode one.
No. No, very strange.
But I thought overall it was a decent opening. As I say, I think it's there. The fact it's no coincidence that it was called Ouroboros and the character is OB is Ouroboros.
Yeah.
And I think the whole season is going to be an Ouroboros. How that will then impact on the rest of the MCU and this phase or this collection of phases and the sort of multiversal war will impact. Because my feeling is that the end game, pick from another fate, the end game of all this will be that they will try and make the MCU have a linear singular timeline at the end of Secret Wars.
Yeah, I would imagine so.
Kang will never have any influence again over stories.
Yeah.
Because that has to happen, really, I think, narratively, to make sense.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think we all know, and we talked about it, this is a reboot coming.
Yeah, yeah.
No matter what they say, there is a reboot coming, because it's exactly what happened in the comics.
Yeah, and then that reboot will have an infinite timeline, which isn't under the control of one person.
Yeah.
People's actions will be their own.
Yeah.
And I think that's what will happen going forward after that.
Yeah.
Which makes sense. So I'm curious now how this series will then tie into that. If we get a point where everything has to go around in a circle to save the timelines and the loom and stuff, how that will impact on those movies, we shall see, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. So that rounds up episode one. So moving on to episode two, Breaking Brad. Right from the word go, this feels like Loki. From the moment it opens.
I did have one complaint about that opening. It's like I felt like there was a scene missing.
Yeah, it does.
Tracking him down without us really seeing how and when and why Brad suddenly decided to pick that moment in time, etc.
Yeah.
It's very much, it ignores the old adage of show and tell. We're told that he met Sylvie after the interrogation, etc. I kind of think we needed to see that instead, perhaps.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's why that previous end credit scene makes me feel like that should have originally been the first scene of this episode.
Mm. Yeah.
Because it just feels like that kind of fits that story, that he would then come and visit her.
Yeah.
In McDonald's.
Mm.
The whole McDonald's thing at the moment makes absolutely no sense.
Well, it's there because she's picked a moment in time in a life where she can just experience things that life has to offer.
Yeah. And other than it being a tie-in and Marvel making some money from using McDonald's, it could be anything.
It was originally planned as well. It just happened to work that they were already working on, weren't they? So, I quite like that McDonald's thing, and that sort of retro 80s and Chicken McNuggets have just come out. but that opening sequence, I thought the whole Brad thing was great. It was hilarious.
From the word go, when Loki appears with a frilly shirt on, you know you're in for some fun. I'm much more of a fan of 70s X5 as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
yeah, when we see Brad, he's great. There's some great Easter eggs as well, like the poster from a certain Eternal character.
Yeah.
The wall behind them.
Yeah. Not the first time they've done that, is it?
No, and it's the same poster apparently that was on his plane.
Brilliant.
Some son of something, it translates as son of Shaw or something like that.
Yeah.
So the illusion would be that version of him is playing a movie character, see the son of the of like himself, if his dad's character.
Yeah.
Brilliant. So that's quite nice, those little nods to the other stuff in the franchise.
Yeah.
Pepper 3.
Yeah.
And fair dues for not sticking Star Wars posters up there, because that would have been quite obvious.
Yeah. Yeah, very much so. The other thing I was going to bring up with this, the only thing I have with Brad is, obviously, as you say, the Eternals link. And it also feels a little bit too close to Wonder Man, which at this point, we don't know whether it's going ahead.
Yeah.
There's rumours that that's been cancelled.
Particularly as Zaniac is a character from the comics who gets a power, isn't he?
Yeah.
It's basically Brad's a character in the comics, I believe, that was an actor.
Yeah.
And gets his powers put on set. He turns into that creature on set. Oh, God. Well, I love that, just the different look of Brad compared to X5, the bigger hair.
Yeah.
And he's more fun.
Yeah. But he does also come across just as unlikable.
Yeah. He's a bit of a dick, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, proper. And then I suppose we have to talk about the return of the God of Mischief. we haven't seen him be like that for quite a while. And there's quite a few scenes within this segment. The first one, when he comes out of the shadows and you feel like, oh God, this is the Loki from Avengers again.
Yeah, well, there's two or three bits in that. There's the, like, the that was really cool as well, the shadows on the wall.
Yeah.
Which have got the horns, which you don't need because Brad can't see them.
No, that's for our benefit.
It's just Loki just being a show-off.
Yeah. And I love the fact that they brought the multiple Lokis back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that was one of the best scenes in that first Avengers film when Cap takes him on in Germany. And also not just multiple Lokis, but other people as well. I thought that was a really clever trick when they pulled that off in this. When you think he's going to get beaten up by some punks.
Yes.
And he goes to touch him and it's like, oh no. And then you actually see the look on his face when he goes, oh shit, it's Loki. He's caught me.
Although a part of me wanted to see him have a big street brawl with a load of locals.
Yeah. Do you know what twigged it for me? When I started seeing punks and rockers together.
Together in the background, weren't they? Yeah.
And I'm like, that's not right. They wouldn't be together. And then I went, oh no, it's Loki. Yeah. But I really like that. And Tom's really sinister in some of these scenes as well.
Yeah, and the interrogation stuff, yeah.
Yeah, really. When they come in and do that. I did want to point out that key lime pie is incredibly green.
Yes, very green.
In fact, it was Loki green.
Yeah.
But
maybe it's Soylent Green.
Yeah.
Maybe it's pruning people.
Oh, and he does tend to like pie because he has apple pie in McDonald's as well.
Yeah.
So that's got to be a thing. But I just at this point, it feels very at home with season one. It fits the mold of season one perfectly. And I know a lot of people have brought this up because the directors and writers are different this year. And I think a lot of people struggled with that first episode, that it wasn't quite the same as season one for that reason. But this does feel like it again back there. And then we get into kind of the ending of the episode with the interrogation, as you say. And I love the twist and stick of Loki and Morbius. I even wrote Morbius down on that exact one. And I've said it again. It just, when you really think that Loki has turned and that Mobius has no idea, and then he shuts up, you don't hear from Mobius for about 5 minutes. And you're like, no, he knows what he's doing now. This is all part of a game. And then when he just walks in at the end, like the door wasn't even locked. It's just brilliant.
I did like the fact that Brad gets under his skin though at one point, and it's Mobius, the one who smacks him one.
Yeah. And that seems, I wonder whether that's the thing that's going to come into play later on. That he can't hold it together.
We're going to see his previous life at some point in one of these upcoming couple of episodes, aren't we? Because it's in the trailer.
Yeah.
We see in front of what looks like a ski shop. So that assumes that's from his timeline.
Yeah, there's definitely pictures of him on jet skis set, so definitely.
And the fact that he says in that, when they're eating that key lime pie, that he's more frightened of discovering he had a good life than something bad.
Yeah.
It's starting to come up.
Definitely.
I did like the stuff with the machine, and that cube thing was brutal.
yeah, it's just the fact that Loki's having so much fun doing it.
Mm.
Like, it feels like he hasn't done that sort of thing for a while.
Mm.
And he really gets into it and knows exactly what he's doing. Knows he's going to come out on top. Yeah. And then I suppose the last real big segment is getting back to Sylvie. The awkwardness between them is great.
Yeah. And how amazing does she look in that McDonald's uniform? Oh, man.
Jeez. I'm still amazed I've not bumped into her because she's a Nottingham girl and she still lives here.
Oh, wow. Cool.
So, just not bumped into her. I did feel that the scene when they come upon the judges or docs, should I point out, it's only her, isn't it? That whole scene feels a little bit like Monsters Inc. with less scaring and more killing with all the multiple doors.
That's the bit that was shot at Chatham, apparently, in the old building place.
Yeah.
You mentioned a while ago.
Yeah.
But yes, it did feel definitely tell that. like Monsters Inc. And bizarrely, I've been to watch a stage show recently, which is a Neil Gaiman adaptation. The Ocean at the End of the Lane, I think it's called.
Yeah.
And there's a sequence they do on stage, which is like that, with the character going through doors and coming out of other doors almost instantly. And it's amazingly done. And you think, for a really, what you see visually in something like Loki, that you can do that sort of thing on stage really impressed me.
Yeah.
Because that's using characters with wigs and stuff on, of course, and
their
backs to the audience. But I did have sort of a flashback to that from a couple of weeks ago in the theater watching this. Always good seeing characters going through doors like that.
Yeah.
But I did think that was probably the weakest segment of the episode for me. Really flat.
Yeah, it didn't really take off. It was very short, wasn't it?
Like
they took them out really quickly. Mm. The only thing I took from that was that the screen where the pruned branches were disappearing from did mention the 616 universe.
They're all from the 616 split, weren't they? Yeah.
So that was good to know. And yeah, just in my opinion, it was just a good, solid second episode.
Mm.
How a second episode should be. I always feel like sometimes second episodes slip a little bit
because
they tend to do a lot of setup. Whereas this, they kind of switched that around. They did a lot of setup in the first one. And this one was just a really solid storyline that moves it on. And that was just my thoughts. And anything else you wanted to add before we finish up here, Tony?
No, just to say, I think it's been a solid start for those two episodes. They resolved that whole thing with Kate Dickie's character quite quickly, I thought, inside two episodes.
Yeah.
Which makes you wonder where the peril is going to come now across the next couple.
Yeah.
What that will be, I'm not quite sure. But no, I thought I enjoyed it. I thought it was a decent second episode. I love the stuff with Brad. I thought it was nice to see. I want to see a little bit more of the 70s though.
Yeah. And that, I think that was our bigger issue with the first season, wasn't it? That we'd been led to believe that there was going to be quite a lot of time travel involved.
Yeah.
And there wasn't. It was very bitty, wasn't it? It was here and there. And then eventually it ended up, a lot of it was in like the in-between world.
Yeah.
Or
the future in places like Lamentis and things like that.
Yeah.
Where I kind of want to see Loki Banks around the past a bit. So.
Yeah. Yeah, especially when we know what he's got involved in. They showed it last season. We want to see some more of what they implied. I want to see him winning the Tour de France.
Yeah. Who's that variant? Yeah, because it'd be interesting to know whether he cheated to win it or whether he just, that version was a good athlete.
Yeah, very much
and
so.
It'd be quite interesting to see, for it turn out that he was just a good athlete and he didn't cheat at all.
Yeah, definitely.
Arrogant athlete, that'd be quite funny.
Yeah. Right, I suppose that calls it quits on episodes 1-2 of Loki season 2. Thank you, Tony, as always. There might be a bit of a gap now because I'm going on holiday. So it might be that the next one is after episode 5 has come out. So 3 and 4 will come and go while I'm gone, but we will be back to talk episodes 3 and 4 at some point at the beginning of November. That will be by the time I'm back. But hopefully you're all enjoying Loki as much as we seem to be. And the bigger picture that it now kind of connects to since the last time we saw Loki. But as always, remember to go and follow us on our social media accounts at BPB Podcast Productions. And we will be back in November to talk Loki Season 2, Episode 3 and 4.